Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. I am back in the office. It is exciting to be here. Good to see you guys in the chat. Kevin, Bill, Big D, Muhammad, Juan, Donkin, Dave, James, Third Wave, Nick. I can't go through all of you right now, but it's great to see you. It's great to be back. We got a lot going on today. We have market news. We have like the usual stock market news, but today might be the first day in the 6 years that I've been here that we actually have Benzinga related news. Yes, we are the news today. In case you missed it, Beringer Capital has acquired a majority stake in Benzinga. It is very, very exciting. We will hear from who else but the man himself, Jason Raznick, at some point in the next hour. I can't promise you when. He's here in the office. He's in a meeting. He's a busy guy. He's got a lot going on. But at some point before the hour is up, I promise we will have Jason Raznick on this. So those of you who've been asking where he's been, this is where he's been, apparently. He's been making moves, doing deals behind the scenes. We got a lot going on here.
All I want to know is stop.
Yep.
Am I going to have to buy a comb?
Time out. Wait, do you want to say something funny?
Yeah.
I think this has already gotten to Joel's head. This has gotten way too far, Joel. Look at this.
Joel! Come on! This is what's hot. We're now suits? Are we suits? I'm wearing a space shirt. I haven't had a comb ever in my life. Everybody makes fun of my hair as the hair indicator. And you're a suit and tie now? Joel, suit and tie? You were working behind the scenes of Steel the whole time, Mr. Alconis.
I just real quick, I had to tie that.
That's unbelievable. I don't even think I own a suit. I'm in trouble here. I'm in trouble.
You know what? We might as well just go crazy with it. So, everyone, grab yourself a nice glass of champagne.
You got champagne?
Whatever you've got. pour it out.
I am not prepared for this. I will tell you that much.
All right.
I did not comb my hair. I did not shave. I'm wearing a space t-shirt, and I have no champagne. I am not prepared. I'm definitely underdressed, Marv. I'm definitely underdressed for this party.
we were going to ask Jason if we're now suits, but Joel already is a suit, apparently.
Apparently, it's been answered. We got to get suits.
Jump the gun on us.
We got to get suits.
Yeah, oh, boy. I hope you guys don't get sick of seeing this blue blazer. Probably
Holy
that I bought.
Macro. Joel, you've never looked better.
Never
pre-pandemic blazer here. I don't know what else I have in my closet. I was scrambling though, but
let's get the charts up. Let's go.
Okay.
I think we better take this to the market. Let's take this to the market where I'm more comfortable. I'm uncomfortable with this suit talk and combs. Take me to the market. Take me where I know something, even though I know nothing. Go.
All right, let's go to the futures. They're trading up 6.25 handles at 35.42.75. Little dip after hours because Triple D took off to celebrate his anniversary. He didn't support the market. But all we need to know is the high for Friday, 51.50. So that's our target on the upside. And to make a new all-time closing high, we got to close above 41.75. Crude. Trying to bust into the 85 handle, up $1.15 at 84.89. Gold having a good day, up 6.10 at 18.02.40. Silver in the green by 2.6 cents at 24.47. Bitcoin on the rebound, that's up 18.20 at 62,900. And Ethereum, that's up $143 at $41.37. And those are the futures. But what's the top news story? Pins not getting bought? What do we got?
Probably. We got? Well, aside from Benzinga, it's probably the Pinterest PayPal thing.
Let's go there.
Yeah. In case you missed it last week, there was a report that PayPal was maybe sniffing around in Pinterest for maybe $70 a share. Well, doesn't take a genius to figure out what happened next, right? The market did not like that headline. So this morning, PayPal comes out and says, hey, never mind. We are not pursuing this acquisition. Everyone, go back to your business because there's nothing to see here.
I mean, this is what we talked about last week on the show and saying if PayPal comes out, and I never understood the reason that they were going after Pinterest anyways. It made no sense to me. I was obviously very skeptical of it, but I said, if PayPal says no to this deal, you're going to see Pinterest tank and PayPal rally significantly. And that is exactly what we were getting this morning. PayPal up 13 points on the no deal and Pins down significantly. And now one other thing to consider here as well is they kind of gave Pinterest a little bit of a pass with the bad Snap news next week. Yes, it got hit a little bit, but not nearly to the extent of some of the others. We know Twitter was down. Pinterest was still somewhat holding up because they had hopes that there was still going to be this potential deal. If that deal is off the table, and obviously you don't know, maybe it can come back on the table, but if it's off, that obviously now you got to look, okay, well, now you're into the social media environment where obviously Snap, you know, had put out bad news last week, and Pinterest and Twitter would have obviously traded down with it as well. So Pinterest actually coming all the way down and now making new lows.
Wow.
Two things to be learned for newer traders on this. When you chase rumors and the rumors don't materialize, you lose a lot of money. Obviously, people buying up at 63, 65, 66 on Pinterest. I believe it was even trading higher than that at one point in time. Now giving it all back. So stock right down near the lows.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I would say PayPal was probably the better play because it's a stock that has been loved for a long time. And selling off $30 because nobody got why they were going after Pinterest. Obviously, the market didn't get it. It was pricing it in. And you're getting the bounce back. So does PayPal go right back to 270? I don't think so, but I'd be interested in a dip on this. Again, there'll be maybe some people still concerned that they might be sniffing around. Maybe a deal rematerializes, but nice lift for PayPal.
Pins. I mean, you're returning to the scene of the crime, right? After the big gap down after earnings last time, this $50. Do the bulls? Do they want to come in here at 50? You know, and support the stock? 2 monthly lows in that area. I won't be one of them. Next monthly low, man, that doesn't come in the lower 40 handle. So I think you'll have to drill down on your dailies to find something else. But let's just go right now with the pre-market low right here at 49.05 as we speak. Keep an eye on your low at 9:29 and 59 seconds and see if the bulls want to make a stand here. But a lot of people buried in this from the move yesterday. PayPal, we talked about too, and they pounded, but it never, you know, in order to get back to where it was before, needs to get up to 270. It looked like it was busting out just above 272. Pre-market high, 258 in Pins, if you're looking for follow-through on the upside. Currently trading 53.5.
Can I ask, was this a case of somebody at PayPal floating this to see what the market would think? Do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if companies do. I don't know if that's the case in this case, but I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen out there. I think deals fall apart sometimes because of a market response. I do believe that. And, you know, a lot of times you see like, okay, yeah, you know, we've seen it before where even with like, you know, a reverse split or an offering or something, sometimes they pull it. And, you know, sometimes it's because, well, we don't like the way the market is responding to this news. The market is speaking what it thinks of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it has something to do with it, to be honest. I mean, you watch your stock fall $30 and everybody's like, and then you see the Snap news last week. That probably didn't help over the weekend. You know, you see obviously Snap getting beat up. And it's like, well, do we really want to pay a premium right now for Pinterest when some of these other companies might start to struggle, especially after the Snap headlines. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe has more to do with it than maybe the PayPal response, but there's a few reasons to be skeptical of this deal, and the skepticism was rewarded here this morning. If you're shorting the pops on Pinterest, you're making some money.
Fair. Okay, let's move on here. Let's talk about Tesla. And the headline this morning is actually crazier than we thought, because the headline was that Hertz is going to buy 100,000 Teslas. And then I just saw a minute ago that Hertz has brought on Tom Brady. This is true, to be the spokesperson of their "We have Teslas, come rent cars with us" ad campaign.
Wow.
This is big. Hertz is making moves this morning. But if you pull up that Tesla chart, we're breaking out again. And I was talking to my dad last night about Tesla. He said he's got a little piece. He said, "I kind of want to sell it." I said, hold on.
Wow.
Dad, if you're watching, I don't know if you are, it's time to move off that stop a little bit, I think. Because that was $50 ago, almost.
And you know what? No matter how you interpret the headline, you can say it, and I'm asking the same question as some people in the chat. I don't know how Hertz is affording 100,000 Teslas when they're coming out of bankruptcy, but I kind of like it, you know? Like, I think about it, it's like, oh, I'm going to a rental car company. Oh, let's go to the Tesla and rent a Tesla. I mean, it's kind of cool. I've never, you know, I've driven a Tesla because my one friend hasn't. Raz has one too, but I mean, I rent a Tesla. If it's not like a premium price to pay and they're just bringing them in, I think it's a good angle. So you're coming out of bankruptcy, you're trying to emerge. I kind of like it, you know, from not that I'm going to go out and buy Hertz. It's no doubt good for Tesla. I mean, they've got the name. We've talked about the stock. We talked about it last week saying, I mean, it just keeps going up. It's driven by story. Here's more to the story again. Why can't it go to 1,000? It probably is going to 1,000. So, I mean, we're 949 now. Just like Kenny says, stock goes to 800, 850 to 900. 950 often gets you 1,000. Is it going straight there? I don't know if it's going straight there, but I got to think four digits is eventually in store for Tesla. Hard to fight the trend.
I'm refraining from making any former Hertz commercial jokes.
I can't even remember the Hertz commercials. What were the Hertz commercials? I don't remember. I can't even look at Joel. I got to bring him off the screen. He's in the suit. I don't even know how to even look at him in a suit.
It's like weird.
It's like we got some, you know, really important, you know, not that you're not important, Joel.
Thank you, Dennis.
Not that you're not important, Joel, but man, yeah, they look at him in the suit. I'm losing my train of thought. So what were the Hertz commercials? I don't remember any Hertz commercials.
OJ, Dennis.
Well, was it OJ?
It was OJ.
They're going back a long time ago then.
Even I've seen those.
Was that before the whole glove incident? I would assume.
A little bit.
Yeah. He used to jump over. They show him running through an airport, jumping over.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. I didn't realize it was Hertz, though. Oh, that's good.
I got a small
piece. If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah. Yeah. Did I ever tell the story about I was on the oldie trading floor? And there was this guy, I think his name was Steve Schuster, and he was going around and he was getting odds that he was going to get acquitted. And I mean, he was getting odds and he was laying out big dollars, or people are laying out big dollars. And I'm like, I didn't know. I was unsure. I'm like, why is he doing that? You know? And sure enough, man, that the verdict came out, and I mean, people literally wanted to choke him. And I think his name was Steve Schuster, but it was just like, when it looks too good, man, sometimes you got to step back from that trade. But anyways,
that was,
I don't
a
know.
Good team of lawyers, we'll say that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good team of lawyers.
Trading at the highs of the pre-market session, right? 953.19. Yeah. Not much else you can say about that. I don't think we're going to fill the gap.
We don't. I don't short stocks making new all-time highs ever. Rocket ship mode right now. No blue skies. Heard. I don't like chasing, but I don't like short and stock. I mean, 3 days ago was 850. Joel, you have shares still. You're holding this forever.
You're going to the grave
with your shares.
Yeah,
you can't afford to pay that tax bill on this thing now.
Oh no!
It's all gain, so you're stuck in that. You know, where you, when you get up too much, it's like, okay, I can never sell now because I can't afford to pay the tax.
What is it? HTZZAQI?
Yeah, it's like 25 letters.
I'll tell you. And because it doesn't trade on an exchange, it trades OTC. There is no pre-market. It's HTZZ, HTZebra Zebra.
Yeah. And 24.69, the close. There's some bulletin boards somehow trading a 26.27, an odd lot went. I'm not sure if those are late reports or what that is. I know. You see that sometimes on these bulletin board stocks.
That's not real.
I don't know. Looks pretty
real. There's no market.
I know. It's an odd lot that somehow is on bulletin board posted there. But I would think this is good news for Hertz. So I would think if you own shares. Obviously, it's OTC Amex. I would think it goes up on this, honestly, because I like the angle. Don't you like the angle, Joel?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, if you want to rent a car and you want to drive a Tesla, you know, why not? What are they supposed to get them? Do you know?
That's a good question. I don't know. Here's what I do know. The purchase of 100,000 Teslas represents for Tesla $4.2 billion of revenue. But that's all we are. This is light on details. It's a great question. How are they paying for it? All we know is that they're supposed to be, according to Bloomberg,
proceeds.
According to Bloomberg, supposed to be delivered over the next 14 months. That's what Bloomberg reports. This is a, heck, you don't even have to need to rent a car. You just have to want to drive a Tesla for a little while, right? I mean, it's a great idea. They've got Tom Brady. This is a win-win for Hertz.
Yeah. Well, what was the Tom Brady news? Did you say that one yet? You said
he's like, they're going to be their campaign spokesman for the.
And they're going all in.
All in.
They're going all in.
Kind of genius.
I kind of like it. I kind of like it. I'll go with you. I kind of like it.
It's kind of genius.
But I'm not buying Hertz probably. But it's good for Tesla. There's no doubt it's good for Tesla. I think it's good for Hertz as well. So we'll see what materializes here. It's a big move for Tesla this morning. It's up 4.1%. We've seen precedents when you get a big contract. Sometimes, you know, the gains can fade, but the thing's at all-time highs. The story is hot. We're in a retail-driven market, which is, you know, being driven by stories. So as we can see, obviously, from DWAC, that is still the case. So hard to be bearish of stock. Valuation doesn't matter when the story is hot, and Tesla's story has never cooled off in a decade. So you don't have to worry about valuation on it, at least at this point in time.
Short-term target, 3015, your October 7th high, and then that's not even the old-time high.
Let's see the charts.
Yeah, 35 is the old-time high. It came out since it emerged from bankruptcy. Yeah, so those are some short, obviously no pre-market trading. Spoos just moving up towards that high from Friday. Right now, we're up 7.75 at 45, 44 and a quarter.
Moving on up.
This is what Tesla can do, though, because on Wednesday, closed at, what, 9? It closed Wednesday at 863.
And now when it's breaking out to new highs, I don't fade. Sometimes the breakout can be a fake out. I'll tell you, I don't fade Tesla breakouts. And if you were and Spencer, to your point, 6-7 days ago, this started breaking out through the triple top at 800, and it has not looked back. And if you're playing that breakout, you took zero heat on this. We're up 150 points in a matter of 7 trading sessions. So congratulations to the Bulls. Tesla killing it, at least from a stock perspective.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay.
They don't want to talk Remark. We can talk Remark.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to have Tim Quast on in a few, and Jason will be on at some point as well. But yeah, let's talk that stuff. There is a never-ending, it would seem, a constantly growing list of stocks that seem to be either related or have rumored, probably not true, relations to the Trump-backed DWAC, right? Last week we had Funware, and there's others as well. And now the one today is Mark. I have yet to find any tangible proof of anything that there's any hard.
What is being rumored on social media? What is the driver? What is the headline here? But they got something cooking up with DWAC. That was what the rumor was.
Chat, you want to help me out? All I saw was that the CEO of Remark, which is ticker MARK, is friends with like Donald Trump Jr. I don't even know. Chat, help me out.
Some of this stuff is literally just made up on social media. I'm not joking. Some of it might be real. I don't have no idea if this is made up or real. I'm just saying that we're in this market environment where, you know, obviously anything to do with Trump and DWAC right now, we saw Funware last week, is going to get bid. So somebody either knows something or started a rumor. We don't know anything. So we don't know if it's true or not. But wow, the stock, which was in the gutter and basically at, you know, 52-week lows 2 days ago at like 75 cents, 90 cents, is bailing out every bag holder from the last 2 years because the stock obviously had the meme run. Back in 2017, well, I had the meme run. First it had the COVID run. This was the one that was going to do, wasn't it? Remember we were talking about this? It wasn't Portnoy in this too, Mark? Wasn't it like something with the 3D cameras? or without not with no with infrared not 3D cam with infrared technology for like testing for COVID.
If it was, it had to have been back in February. But
I think there was some rumors on stuff like that too.
Dennis, I honestly don't remember.
There's always a stock like this, like Kenny was saying. There's always something that gets hot. I mean, social media is a driver of price, and you have to respect it, whether you believe the rumors or not. You have to respect it. We did a, you know, we did a session on our educational event a week and a half ago talking about, you know, how to play these things. And the big thing that I was writing on the screen is sell your peanuts while the circus is in town. Don't forget to sell. Because a lot of times these stocks come back to where they came from. We don't know where the top is, but when a stock goes from 75 cents to over $10, how high did we get, Joel? Over $10 in the pre-market, I saw it.
Almost to 10. Almost
to 10. So just under $10.
$9.90.
Those are huge gains. I mean, these are windfalls. I mean, professional traders are coming in grabbing fractions of a percent in a lot of trades. You're grabbing 300-400% on a trade overnight. I ring the register. And, you know, maybe you don't get the top, but it maybe you sell too early. But at least, you know, you're locking in some. At least sell some of it. That's my opinion. That's how I approach these things. Because what we say is, in the long run, a lot of times these storied stocks come back to where they were. So, I mean, and last week, obviously, we saw on Friday, it was fun. That was an unbelievable move. Oh, PHUN. This was a meme stock or a stock that was, you know, actually, I don't know if it was a meme stock, but it was a stock that was that got hot back in like February when everything was hot and had been leaking. And then all of a sudden, just boom, it goes from a dollar to $24 overnight. Just incredible movement. Obviously, you know, it's trading up here this morning.
Let's
as well.
Talk about what happened on Friday. Yep. This is the other side of the coin when you're in one of these. It's all fun and games when it goes to 24, but when it halts at $18, you don't
on and, the way
and,
down.
And the thing was with DWAC, it halted what, like six times on what, Thursday? What was it?
Oh,
was
maybe
it
even more.
Oh, whatever. The point was, it took no heat on the halt. No heat on the halt. It kept going higher. Yeah. But we knew that that's not always how the game works. So Friday, you're in fun. It's all fun and games. You're at 18. Boom. Halted. And then where does it reopen? At 9. Wait.
I think it reopened at $8.
No, actually.
Can it do that?
It was 7.52. Yeah.
Didn't reopen anywhere, Joel. Once you go and the, okay, so let's talk about a couple points here. One is I have, you know, said multiple times, you know, in the public that the limit up, limit down circuit breaker systems do not work when on these smaller stocks when you have material news or when you have, you know, obviously a social media run on the stock. I mean, DWAC, if we go back to the Friday morning trading, was trading completely fine in the pre-market. You know, it had a market. Yes, you're going to get more volume when you come into the regular session. But as soon as it opens, it halts because then the limit up, limit down circuit breakers, the halting system, the mechanism, doesn't apply in the pre-market, doesn't apply after hours. But as soon as it opens, if a stock moves a certain percentage in a smaller fraction of time, they halt the stock because they want, you know, liquidity to come in. What this does is disrupts the natural trading when you have this kind of, you know, volume coming into a stock. So you have all these little continuous, it halts, and then there's a new auction. It halts, and then there's a new auction. And then it halts, and then there's basically a new auction as it reopens, and the new auction reopens at the new price. It's very disruptive. People are getting punished. I mean, anybody who was long Funware when it was starting to come back in, at you know, like when it halted, I forget where it halted, of $18, what you were saying, Spencer. And it reopens at 8.
7.
I mean, you know, or 7.92. You're getting hit really hard there. I mean, it's not giving you a chance to even, you know, if you have a stop in there at like 15 or 14, you're going to get executed right down at 8. So it's so disruptive. And I hope if the regulators, I know there's some that listen to the show sometimes, the regulators are listening. We need to address the situation where the limit up, limit down circuit breakers are completely disruptive to some of these smaller companies. They either need to widen the bands or they need to not put them in place for the smaller companies. I get it on some of the major companies, but some of these smaller companies, material news comes out and then the stocks can't even price to where they want to go. I've seen instances where, you know, you have a biotech company, it comes out with really good drug news. Well, it can only allow, it comes out middle of the day, it's only allowed to go up so much before it halts. So it'll go up and then halt. Go up, and then halt for 5 minutes. Go up and then halt for 5 minutes. I've seen it do it like a dozen times, some of these other ones, as it's trying to get to where it naturally wants to price, but the pricing mechanism and the limit up, limit down circuit breaker won't allow it to naturally happen. the process in the pre-market, it doesn't have those. And if you look at FUN right now, it's trading very smoothly. I mean, it's crazy.
It is.
But at least it's smooth. It's got a 4-cent market. It's tidy. As soon as the stock opens, it's going to halt and it's going to get disrupted and it's going to make a mess on it again. So we need to adjust those circuit breakers or completely maybe even try some type to maybe even possibly remove them, you know, for some of these smaller stocks because they're completely disruptive on some of these smaller issues.
I'll just one number only for FUN. 12, something's going on at 12 here, at least over the last half hour or so. If you're looking for more upside, just seller at 12, currently trading 11.28, support perhaps at the close at 8.74, but it's pretty hard to do technicals. All these other ones are a little bit above my pay grade.
So what I also said, just to talk about, you know, and this is not my cup of tea, but what I will say is we've seen this again and again and again. You get the big move, the boom, and it's awesome. And then, you know, you come in and obviously, you know, you kind of crash after that. They have trouble getting back to those highs. So like on a FUNWARE, you know, and obviously anything can happen. We know that, you know, and then in the case of DWAC, I was dead wrong. You know, obviously in the pre-market, it hit 22 and it came all the way back down to 10. And I did not think the 22 was going to go back there and it went to 175. So these things can still do anything. But it seems like more often than not, once they have the big boom, like the big move, and then they crash like 50%, they struggle to get back there. And then the slow and steady leak happens over the course of the next, you know, month or so. So you got to get out one while the getting is good. And two, if it does have the crash afterwards, you got to use those bounces to lighten up, in my opinion.
This is what
I would say you're using those bounces to lighten up.
This is what you also said on DWAC on was it Wednesday or Thursday? Who even knows it? I think it was Thursday. You also said and I remember this, and I think you're right, when these stocks do come down, if they don't come all the way down, if they maintain, I don't know, if they can hold half the gains or whatever. Yeah. This is what happened with GameStop, right? If they hold half the gains for like a couple of days, then that's a signal that maybe there's more to come. That's
there could be another bounce.
Exactly. But if it falls 75-80%, the odds are not in your favor.
And some of them do come back. I mean, like the FUN, and it's such a difficult market to predict too. Like, and that's what maybe we should take the conversation too, is like, how do you find like the next FUNWARE? I mean, you can look at Reddit and you can say, okay, well, what's trending on Reddit? What's the hot stock? But you can go buy some of these hot stocks that are even trending and sometimes they don't go. Another person was saying, you just go to the big gainers of the day and it's always one of the big gainers that go. But if we look at the big gainers today, and we can do that screen right on Benzinga Pro, can bring it up. Use that exercise to bring it up. Bring up the pre-market gainers and you can look at what everything's trading up. And there'll be on any given day, there's a penny stocks up 20, 30%. So, I mean, you could go and you could try to buy those, but a lot of those don't continue to go. So it's a matter of finding which one is going to be the one that explodes 300, 400, or 500%. I mean, it's difficult to figure out. In chat, you know, if you guys got answers for these questions too, you know, maybe, you know, we can ask the chat as well. But you can see here this morning, you've got, you know, the COMS is a penny stock. It's trading up 37%. I'm just going from that
every
list
day,
there right now.
This is the first screen I look at. Every day there are between 2 and 5 stocks up either 35% or more.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Scroll up a bit too. You're not showing the very top.
Oh, you're right. I'm not.
One.
You're right.
There you go. I was like, because Mark's not there, and we know Mark's the high one there. So there you go. So you can do this right in your Benzinga Pro. You can go show them how they do it because a lot of our subscribers have Benzinga Pro.
Great point. So this is your Benzinga.
Show them how to do it.
This is your Benzinga Pro homepage, right? This is your this is the page everyone gets to when they go to the platform. You go to the movers tool. You go to the movers tool. This is how you do filters. You filter for pre-market.
Yeah.
And I have no price filters and no market cap.
And I go to sessions.
Yeah,
so, you know, because that'll show you what's moving the last 5 minutes.
Too.
Maybe you want to know what's moving the last 5 minutes. But first thing I like to see is what is up this morning? What's happening this morning?
So I do two. I do one just for gainers.
Yeah.
Do that. Gainers, pre-market session. Click that blue thing. Boom, we're done. I'm going to go here on the left and I'm going to do another movers tool. Where's my movers? There it is. Another movers tool. Just for losers. Losers, pre-market, session, boom. Gainers on the left, losers on the right.
Yeah.
Every day there are, it's more like a dozen. Every day there's like a dozen of these things making huge moves.
Yeah. Check out the, when you're doing these though, folks, you know, check out the volume, check out the average daily volume, you know,
yeah, make sure up on not... volume. If it's up on 100 shares,
you gotta
look at the volume. And we're not saying you can just go buy all the movers. I'm saying in all likelihood,
I'm not saying
you
that.
Buy all those movers, the top 10, a lot of them are going to go down. So it's an art to figure out which one is actually going to continue. I mean, if it's a hot storied stock, sometimes they do continue. And sometimes it's a matter of it continuing from its move on Friday, which is exactly the case in the case of Merck. You had the explosion on price on Friday where the stock doubled from, you know, 75 cents to $2 close. This was probably up after hours. I didn't trade after hours because I'd gone away. I always do, but I was away. And, you know, obviously you can see the continuation of the move. So a lot of times it's the previous day's action that dictates, you know, a follow through move on the next day as well. But, you know, there's opportunities in here, but I'll tell you, it is still difficult to figure out. You could buy all those stocks and a lot of them aren't going to go up and some of them might go down.
Most of them are not going to work. But if your objective here is to find what the trending stock of the morning is, that's what I would do. And here is why. The viral economy is so decentralized. You have Twitter, hugely influential. You have Wall Street Bets on, and you have Reddit. It's not even just Wall Street Bets, it's Reddit, because there's a dozen of these influential subreddits that's hugely influential. You have Discord, also hugely influential. It is impossible. It's trying to find a needle in a haystack. It was what it's like to try to find where a rumor came from. You will not be able to find it. It is basically impossible. But you've got Twitter, Reddit, Discord. I would love in the chat to get y'all's opinion which of those platforms that you think is the most influential, because they all move stocks every single day. And if you're trying to find out why, eventually you'll the rumors always come out everywhere. But trying to find the source is difficult. Trying to find what like the trending stock of the day is.
Yeah.
Just skip all that.
What's the Reddit stock of the day? Because it's always, I mean, AMC is always on there. GME is always on there. But they don't go up every day.
And Yon is making a great point. YouTube as well. Hugely influential, right? Just skip the trending and just go look at the performance. What's up and what's down? That'll tell you all you need to know.
But what I find interesting here is the rotation from we talked about this a couple days ago, and you know, I actually tweeted it out. Are you going to start to see weakness in AMC and GME and some of the other meme stocks as money comes from those to go in to chase the new hot thing? And it's exactly what you are seeing. AMC is down about $5 since I tweeted that 2 days. I think it was Thursday I tweeted that. It's at 35.63, and you've got GME obviously selling off as well. It's very interesting, Joel, that, you know, I think
money has to come from somewhere.
We talk about this money, this speculative money that, rotation. You know, isn't interested in trading Apple. It isn't interested in trading mega caps. It's interested in the next hot story. And as it moves around this speculative capital, you can see weakness, obviously, in stocks like AMC and GME, because that's speculative capital that's moving into DWAC all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a coincidence that GME and AMC did not have a good couple of days as DWAC exploded. So you have a lot of traders, like professional traders like me, I don't even usually touch any of that stuff because it's too unpredictable. But, you know, you have other traders that, you know, just trade speculative names and are chasing that. And you have algorithms, you know, I shouldn't just say it's retail. There's a lot of professional algorithms that just chase that stuff too. So they'll move the money out of this and they'll move the money over into that. So the rotations within, you know, even the meme world are interesting as well. So you've got to respect all that too. I mean, right now it seems like a lot of like sub dollar stocks are the things that are going this morning. I was looking, you know, at the movers because it's all of a sudden it's like, oh, what's the next Merck? People are trying to get rich fast. I mean, everybody wants to get rich fast, right? You know, that's the whole, oh yeah, let's get rich fast. But I mean, it's tough because you're buying like little lottery tickets, and some people are going to win the lottery, but a lot of people aren't. So
mental capital too, Dennis. I mean, for you, trading all those different instruments, 100, 150 stocks with your hedges. If you got something on like that,
it's,
I mean,
babysit.
Mental capital. You're looking at it.
I have to babysit that stock. I can't have a whole bunch of other positions and doing other things and doing pairs trading and relationship other based trading. You know, have a whole pile of positions on and then have something like DWAC on, because DWAC is moving so quickly and it's moving so much. That's babysitting. So, I mean, if you're only trading one stock, maybe you can babysit that one. But again, you know, you get caught up in these halts. You know, here you have people who are in fun, you know, and it's looking like awesome. It's looking like a lot of fun. The pun fully intended there. Fun. And then all of a sudden it starts to turn the other way and you can't get out. And it's in a limit up, limit down. It's on the down haul. And it reopens $8 on you. Like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, you got a
thousand shares. I'm sure there's some people that got burned.
You got 1,000 shares. You're going to try and make $4 or $5 on it.
And then it
boom.
Opens down $10 on the halt. And you're like, well, I don't even know what to do with it now. So,
Where's
I mean,
Kodak
these
at?
Are high risk, high
Where's
reward.
Kodak?
It's Kodak. And Joel, Kodak. While Joel looks at Kodak, let's bring on Tim Weiss because it's 8:36 on a Friday.
Can Jason come on soon? Because I don't know how much longer I can.
You can't take the suit.
No, I'm like,
is Jason going to be wearing a suit too?
Jason is wearing nice clothes.
Where is he? Tom, he's got to get on here soon, man.
Look, there is an
I think I didn't take this to the cleaners, man. I got a cleaners, Spencer. There's a cleaners at 12 in Northwestern, 2-for-1. Tell them you know me.
I think I've been to that one.
Oh, yeah?
There's literally an all company meeting right now that we're not in because we're here with you all, but let's bring Tim Quast.
Is it a coincidence they didn't want Spencer at the old company meeting?
It's not a coincidence. It is purely intentional.
All right, we get
Tim Quast. Good morning, sir. How was your weekend?
Good to see you. It was awesome up here in the mountains, and apparently Joel must have had a good weekend because he's wearing a tie.
Oh, I know. It's all fancy now. Well, we're suits now, apparently, Tim. I don't know if you heard.
I like this tie.
Yeah, for those of you who came in late.
Did not get that memo.
For those of you who came in late and missed the news, Jason was on CNBC this morning. Behringer Capital has acquired a majority stake in Benzinga.
Wow,
that news was on.
So they're turning us into suits, Joel. Thanks. I'm still going with the T-shirt look, so I'm going to hold out and not get the comb as long as I possibly can. But Joel's already full suit mode.
He's thrown in with the corporate guys.
Yeah, I know he's corporate now. Yeah.
So I'll give you guys the inside scoop. What actually happened is we were going to do a SPAC, and we went to a vote, a company wide vote. And nobody wanted to do it. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. But if that did happen,
I didn't get a vote on this. What the heck's going on?
But if that did happen, it would have been funny.
Dude, my jaw's in though. I was like, I didn't get to vote.
Tim, I was going to ask Dennis this question, but I'll pose it to you as well. We were just talking about trading halts. Here's a question: when a stock has halted like that for volatility,
we're talking DWAC.
Yeah, or fun or whatever.
Okay.
What controls where the stock opens out of that halt?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Supply and demand.
Yeah.
The same rules apply. It's wherever the national best bidder offer is. And the price will be determined by the fastest automated quote to get to it. That's the law. The law says that a marketable trade has to flow to the best available price. And that's why somebody like Citadel will always price the market on the open. It's the same thing. People don't realize this, that on the floor of the NYSE, it is against the laws, against the rules that the NYSE itself has established to open the market with a customer order. It will open on trades from one of the four DMMs, designated market makers, which are Citadel, Infinium, Virtu, and GTX, I think, right? So those are all proprietary traders. And that is who will set the bid or the offer. It'll be the offer that always takes precedence because that's, again, the rules of the market. The offer will be the highest price in the market because the offer will be higher than the bid. So that's what will set it.
It's basically just coming out when the stocks halt. You have a new auction. You're getting new little auctions all the time. And all the bids and all the offers come in, obviously, you know, and some are going to be marketable depending on. But like Tim says, you know, they're going to look at where that auction clears, and that's where the opening price is going to be. And then it's going to continue to move from there. What I was arguing before you came on, Tim, is that these limit down circuit breaker does not work well for these smaller stocks. It's very disruptive to the natural trading. I get it. They put these in for people who are newer to the markets. This came in after the financial crisis because we had, you know, they didn't want stocks trading all the way down. And after the flash crash, especially, because they didn't want, that was really it. I shouldn't say the financial crisis. The financial crisis maybe started some regulation. But then the flash crash of May 2010 was, you know, May 6, 2010. I believe it's 2010. Yeah, I'm losing track of years here. Yeah. Where they said, okay, well, we can't have stocks trading from $40 to a penny, you know, and just instantly because there's no bids. We need to be able to stop stocks from going down too quickly. So that works well, you know, in the event, you know, like we, Microsoft should never, or, you know, some of these stocks, Accenture, I believe, trade all the way down to a penny. That limit up, limit down would have stopped that from happening. So that was a nice Band-Aid for the problem. But the problem is when you have these smaller stocks, which are subject to the same rules, yes, the bands are wider for some of the smaller stocks, but they're obviously not wide enough. So when you have material news on a small cap company, the price can't go to where it naturally wants to go right away. And a lot of times what you see is the boom, the up, the halt. And then it wants to go in the boom, the up, another halt, because it doesn't even get to clear as high as it wants to clear. So because they put, you know, and obviously that's all to do with market structure behind the scenes, but what is a better mechanism? I get, you know, the intentions of, you know, trying to protect the retail investor, but we had an example on Friday, Tim, where Fundware started turning the other way. PHUN went from $1 to like $24, started turning, halted around 18 and reopened at 8. I mean, you catch so many people, the stock reopens 50% lower because everybody's like, I got to get out now at the same time. And that happens to be the low, and then it starts to bounce back. I mean, what is a better mechanism or a better solution? I'm really throwing you under the bus because I don't even know if I know what the solution is here. But I just think the disruptive, we need to come up with something different, or we need to remove the limit up, limit down circuit breakers for some of these smaller stocks.
It's very difficult. You know, I go back to the cattle auctions of my youth. I grew up on a cattle ranch. And so we would take cattle to the auction. And if you didn't like the price that the buyers offered, you could buy your cattle back. Maybe that's, and literally that's what you would do. You would take your cattle off the market. So maybe that's an option. Maybe if Fundware doesn't like the, or whoever owns the stock doesn't like the price, you get to pull your bidder offer. But I don't know, Dennis. It's a very challenging feature of a continuous auction market. That's the problem. The problem is a simple problem to understand. It's that this is not the kind of auction where everybody shows up and there's a piece of art for sale and you bid for it. It is that there is a relentless train of bids to buy and offers to sell in increments of, you know, whatever it is. You could put 25,000 shares in there, but the likelihood that you're going to match at that size is minuscule. So that's the challenge. It's a flaw in market structure, as is what drives DWAC. You know, we could talk about that too, but I don't have a ready solution. You're right about the genesis of that. People used to put in stub quotes so that you would put in a penny, you would put in a penny to buy, because who's going to sell their stock to you for a penny? And then you'd offer to sell
it for a penny.
$100,000.
Right, sell it for $100,000 or buy it for $100,000 or sell it for $100,000. And so then you trade between those. Well, then everybody vanished except who had the stub quote.
Yeah. And liquidity, literally, Accenture, there was no bids. That was a flash crash. It wasn't even a lot of selling pressure. It was the lack of liquidity. It was the fact that we had no bids in the market. No real bid.
Dennis, you wrote about Rambus, right? I don't know. I probably mentioned this on the show before, but in January, you had that incident in Rambus.
We saw it in individual stocks where you would get this liquidity, you know, and maybe this is a good, you know, segue into, you know, what Tim's talking too. I mean, we had a firm of, when we had a floor, you know, and Joel was a market maker on the floor. I mean, you had a different type of market where you had affirmative obligations. And what those are is that a market maker has to give you a reasonable price. I mean, the specialist on the NYSE floor, a lot of people thought the specialists were crooks. But you know what? they would come and at least give you a price, a reasonable price.
Maybe not
what happens when it's all moved to, you know, high frequency automated market making systems that don't have affirmative obligations, they don't have to give a price. If the going gets tough, they just pull all their bids and there's nothing left there. Right. And I mean, that's really, you know, the issue is that you don't have those affirmative obligations anymore and you have these vacuums of liquidity where there's just no bids in the market. So what are your thoughts there, is, you know, comparing the system we used to have with the system we have today?
Well, there is still an obligation on the floor for the DMMs to effectively be 10% of trading volume. However, they're paid. They're paid 3 cents a hundred to do that. So it's my theory. I can't prove it, but that is what causes the bursts at the open. So they want to get their 10% out of the way because they don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day. So you get paid for your 10% and now your obligation is done. If something goes wrong, you can pull your quotes. So I just think it's important for traders to understand that it's a fragile market, that there's an awful lot of demand that comes from people who don't want to own things. And if you don't know that, you will have an unrealistic expectation of what might occur, just as it is with DWAC. So the reason DWAC is a meme stock, it happened for the very same reasons that GameStop and AMC Theaters and so on went up 1,000%. It's because Citadel and various other market makers, it's not their fault. You know, I've been into these Twitter exchanges with folks who believe that Citadel is nefarious. Well, you know, Citadel is a major force in the markets and it's after its own self-interest, but it's merely following the rules. And the rules say that if you're making a market in a stock, then you have an obligation to be at the bid and the offer for orders of 100 shares or less. Well, if they keep going up, Citadel is going to manufacture stock until all of those orders are filled and there's a nexus, at which point they will stop doing it and the stock will go down. And that's what occurs. So traders, you have to be aware of this, that it's not limited. The prices are not limited to the supply of the stock available. There are only 42 million shares of DWAC, including the warrants. And yet somehow it traded 430 million shares.
10 times.
Right. Part of that is market making, trading the same shares 10 times before you even have a chance. That's part of it. But the big part of it is there will be stock manufactured to fill a trade. That's the way the market works. How is that possible? Because the SEC said, thou shalt make a continuous auction, market makers. And they said, we can't do that. It's impossible unless we're exempted from the requirement that we locate shares to short. And the SEC said, fine. We've talked about this repeatedly before. They are exempt from Reg SHO Rule 203(b)(2). And they can create stock. So realize that, traders, you got to be. That's why I say supply and demand matter. If you know where we're going to see it on Market Structure Edge, we will know when stock is being manufactured to support prices because it's measurable. So you want to be informed and not the sucker. You know, you go read that GameStop memo from the SEC. We talked about it a little bit last week. Spencer, you and I did.
Yep.
So the SEC pointed this out. They said, look, you have to understand market structure. How does the market work? And if you don't understand it, it's your own fault. Effectively, that memo says we're not at fault because these rules are necessary to support the market we have. Look, it's a marvel of technology. It's an extraordinary thing that we can support over $50 trillion of market cap with this system. But it's also very fragile. At any moment, quotes can crumble and vanish. And so you have to be aware of that.
Yeah, the takeaway seems to be you can hate the players, but in Tim's view, hate the game more. If you're going to hate someone, hate the players, but hate the game more, because that seems to be where the and this is not the only area where this is a problem. Right? You can copy the same exact argument over to the, you know, what the Fed was doing with regards to trading individual stocks and. Well, we didn't break the rules. Well, that's the point. You didn't break the rules. That's the problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. And we could look at this in Fundware. I mean, you can absolutely see what happened.
Jump into some of that stuff. Jump
Tim,
into the market.
Show us what
stuff.
You got.
And we'll look at something that maybe you should own. I'm not saying that you should, but it's fascinating to see where does money go if the market stops rising. By the way, statistically, and I'm going to share my screen here. Statistically, we measure supply and demand on a 10-point scale. And so I was looking at this data over the weekend, and statistically, year to date in 2021, the market has produced 0.0% returns at levels above 5.8. Guess where it is? 6.3. Meaning that if you take the times that it's above 5.8 and aggregate them in 2021, the return is zero. All the returns lie between 4, because it's not been below 4 in 2021 yet, and 5.8. Well,
so you don't want to be buying the market when it's 6.3.
Exactly. You shouldn't be buying the market. So what should you buy? Well, you should buy the stuff where all the low volatility money is going to go if the market starts to crumble. Where will it go? Well, that's measurable, and I'll show you. But let's look at funware just for the since let's we can
for fun.
Yeah, for fun.
Just for fun.
For fun. Lots of puns today.
So here's the massive surge in fun, right? So it just exploded. Here below is short volume. That's the percentage of trading volume coming from borrowed stock. Well, people already knew right at options expirations that there was a high probability that this would occur. Now, how would they know that? I mean, that who's they to begin with? And how would they know that? So see where my cursor is. This is short volume. That dotted line is the trend line for short volume. It is now over 50%. Over 50% of trading volume in fundware is coming from manufactured stock. I mean, no holder has to buy or sell for the stock to go up 500%. Because market makers will merely manufacture it and trade it at higher prices. So somewhere around options expirations, the machines who are making markets in options and the stock knew. Now, what did they know at that point? Well, maybe people started betting on options. And so these machines have the same kind of we run great algorithms. We have a pretty good idea where stuff's going to go in five-day increments. And so those algorithms told Citadel et al., that we want to manufacture some stock, and then we want to be long right here, right at the end of options expirations. So the 21st was the first day clear of options expirations, and wham, the stock explodes. Well, new options traded last week, beyond the 20th, I think. So that how is that possible? Well, they're market makers. They consume the order flow from options and from retail shops. They're going to know, wow, there's a lot of limit orders coming out of Robinhood and out of Ameritrade and out of Schwab. Okay, this thing could pop. All right, well, let's make sure we're on the right side of that trade because we're proprietary market makers. We're not serving customers. We buy order flow and then it becomes ours and we can do something with it. That is measurable. We could go look for that kind of feature in the marketplace. I could show you another one where that condition sort of exists. But that's what happens. So traders, you have to beware that that condition exists. And when it's a rocket sled like that, when sentiment, when price is zooming and sentiment is already peaked, sentiment was already peaked the day before. The supply-demand balance had already been hit. So it's going to drop. You've got to know that. If it had hit the ceiling, hit 10 and continued going, like Tesla, then you're okay. If you look at Tesla, here's Tesla, 10 and topped, and it's only 40% short. There is no excess supply of Tesla in the market. Look at that. In fact, everybody had to cover, and it's still a 10. Can that price go higher? Yes, it can, because there's still a supply-demand imbalance.
When do you sell? When they're sitting up at the tens? Do you sell your peanuts when the circus is in town? Like just get out because you don't know when it's going to end, or do you ride it? Like how? When do you? And this is a question for me, and I've struggled with this for 22 years. I've been great on entries, and I've always kind of stunk at the exits. I always get out too soon. When is the best time to sell?
So I prefer to sell when I've achieved my return. Right, and B, when the supply demand balance changes. So if short volume begins to rise, then get out. Maybe we should look at SHOP. So I sold SHOP on Thursday. So I bought it on Tuesday and I sold it on Thursday. I bought it at 1446. I sold it at 1498. Now why? because I could see this. It has a very short run. When it gets to 10 in shop, you should be out. Statistically, it will not continue to produce returns as it sits at 10. Why is that? I think it's because it's very risky to make a market in a stock that is trading at $1,400. So that was my, you know, it was that's how I think about it, Dennis. By the way, you should also think about intraday volatility. So shop is 3% volatile every day. Do the math on that. That's a movement of $45. You got to know that if it moves more than that, you're now outside the intraday volatility and the market making is going to break down. I think about that stuff. I mean, I'm all about the math of the marketplace and taking your gains, not risk, right? Take gains, not chances.
That's it.
Yep.
Tim Quast joins us every Monday. He is the founder of
Structure
Edge.
Good to see you guys.
StructureEdge.com. Tim, have a good one.
You too. See you.
Hey, it's 8:55, guys. I think that the all hands meeting is about to wrap up, I hope. And I'm going to try and buy it some time and hopefully we can get Jason on here. But in the meantime, we'll do some ticker time. The only news I saw that broke during that segment was Moderna. They came out with expected data that the phase 3 trial of their COVID vaccine in kids ages 6 to 11 was tolerable. And so
stocks, they just
they don't care about the vaccine news anymore.
Well, it spiked on it. Don't act like it didn't.
No, $2 is not a spike on Moderna. It's not even up really much more in the relative. So you get these spikes, but these spikes, again, you know, there's just no good response, it seems like, to any of this. So we're so immune because we get vaccine news every day. The market just thinks of it as a non-event now. We used to get, you know, if you go back 3-4 months ago, this, and this is just, it's getting desensitized to this news now of vaccine stuff. We've heard about it so much. So we're going to get an approval probably for 5 to 12. You know, by the FDA. You know, there's a panel discussing it today. And in all likelihood, stock get a little pop on it, but those pops seem to be short-lived. So, you know, the trend is not your friend here now in Moderna. Do I still like the company long-term? Maybe. It's always been a valuation issue for me, which is why I've never put it in there. You know, I struggled with it being worth as much as Merck. But, you know, I don't know, you know, with where we're going with COVID, obviously, there's lots of different things to consider. But when the market, you know, responds to me on good headlines, those are not the stocks I want to be in.
Didn't even get to Friday's high on this one. You just got to pop a little bit ago to 32.80. So that'd be your short-term target since we've leaked over $3 from that level. Friday's high as well at 35.75. And then just draw a line across your 340 area if you want to purchase this on strength. A lot of people stuck in this one. And theoretically, support at the close. Friday's closing price was 326.54.
And yes, chill Don Hamid, the Moderna headline was expected today. Not a surprise. Let's look at Peloton for Chrissy. She asked about PTON here. She asked about two stocks, but this is the one that looks less ugly, probably. So
the Peloton Zoom relationship, and I gave that obviously, you know, a week and a half ago in our educational event. The relationship is so strong here. I mean, you put those two charts on top of each other, and obviously the company's not fundamentally really anything to do with each other, but they're both classic stay-at-home plays. And if you look, these two stocks just move together, so you got to use those as indicators to each other. Zoom, the big level of resistance is going to be 300. Peloton, the big level of resistance is going to be 100. So we've come back a little bit. You know, are these trends broken? Is the story over? I don't know if the story is completely over. It's actually had a pretty good little run here and showing a little bit of life, but you know, it's not the hot story of 2021, I would say.
Pair of highs at 95, even ahead of that $100 level, not to talk against my book again, but
Joel hates you, that
you know, 95, 50. Yeah, Lisa did ask me the other day. She's like, when are you going back on the Peloton? And I would say, well, probably when we get snowed in and I can't go to the gym or something like that. But yeah, pair of highs, just not perfectly at 95, but that level is just jumping out to me.
Okay, so I have just received word that Jason Raznick is not in the building.
Oh, well, it's going to be tough to get him on the show then.
So, and this is 100% true story. Apparently, this morning, Jason pulled out of his driveway and drove away with his computer on the roof of his car, and it's raining.
He was pretty excited, apparently.
So Jason is not here. So Jason will not be joining us because he's not physically here anymore.
He's gone to get the smashed up laptop on the side of the road.
His wife was looking for it and was, last I heard, unable to find it.
That's
so
awesome.
I think now he's gone to look for it. So I don't know. But so Jason's not here. So Jason's not coming on. But
I did that back in high school. I can remember. I did that back in high school with my textbooks. And what happened was, you run
why don't
into
you tell me that
I'm
sooner?
I'm getting in my car, and then I run into somebody.
Why didn't
somebody
you tell me that,
that
sooner, Spencer? Jesus, wait, Murphy.
Wait, could maybe we can get Luke? Is that a consolation?
Yeah, get Luke.
Here, I'll be right back. You tell.
Okay, go get Luke. I'll tell the quick story. So, but I can see how that can happen. You know what happens is, and Jason's really busy on the phone. It's obviously a huge day for him. But you know, you've got your laptop, you've got your textbooks. It was textbooks back then. I was in high school in my hand, and somebody starts talking to you. You know, at your car. So I sat the textbooks on the roof of my car, and I'm talking to the buddy or whatever, and you know, you're shooting the crap there for like 5 minutes, and then you just get in your car and start driving away. It's like, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you realize you see the textbooks go off. It's like, oh, I forgot those on the roof. So that's how it happens. You get distracted. So
yeah.
Jason, we all do it. It's okay.
Yeah.
And you're having a big day, so we'll give you a pass.
Everyone in the chat, wow, more people have come out and confess to the same thing.
You just get distracted. You'd be like, okay, I'll put this here for a second, and then all of a sudden you get distracted. You want to know another one too that I did this twice, so maybe I'm susceptible to this, so I can really relate to what Jason's done here. But I can remember I was like 19 years old and I had like a case of beer, you know, and you're like all excited for your case of beer, and I put the case of beer, I sat it down, and I don't know how, but I sat it down like near my in front of my car because my phone rang, and it was phones. I had to go inside to get the phone.
Yeah.
So I was just putting the beer in the car, and I was pulled into the driveway. So I put the beer. I was going to put the beer in the trunk, and I put it. But the phone rang, so I just sat the beer on the ground behind the car, and then I ran inside, answered the phone, come back outside, get in my car, and back over the case of beer.
Oh no!
And back over the case of beer. And you want to know how tough those bottles are? Out of the 24 beer bottles that were in there,
Yeah. Only
two were broken. I drove over it with a car.
That's pretty impressive.
So, yeah. So, anyways, it can happen. Stuff like this.
Yeah,
can happen.
I've heard of it happening with coffee before, but never with a computer.
Case of beer.
Okay, I think Joel just went to take his suit off. Honestly, Luke is. I don't know. I think Luke is in the bathroom or something. So, I think we're gonna have to end the show now, unfortunately. Oh. But
well, we keep the show going. It's going to continue to run.
We will keep the shows going today. And in the future. Live trading with myself, Ryan Zinni, will start at around 9:10 Eastern time. So around 8 minutes from now, we will get Luke on that show, or Jason, if he's even home. I don't even know where Jason is right now. We'll get someone on that show to talk to us more about what this means. But
I asked them the question. The important question is, am I going to have to invest in a comb? That's what I want to know, because we got to start combing our hair and wearing suits. That's what I want to make sure. I don't have to buy a comb.
As per the new policy.
Write that down. Dennis wants to know whether he's going to have to invest in a comb and wear a suit.
I can't. As per the new policies, I have to submit that question in writing.
Yeah, okay.
So
submit it in writing for me. I'm very scared and concerned because I don't even own a suit. So I'm very scared.
I don't know, unfortunately. Okay. Dennis had Joel's back. Wait a minute, Joel. How did you do that?
Okay, how fast he is. He's like Houdini. He's like Houdini over there. Final four.
Yeah.
Spencer left us. It's just
No, I just
I'm trying to get Luke. Luke. Come on the show.
They're all high-fiving each other over there.
All right. We got Luke. We got Luke.
Come on. Get him on here quick.
He's coming. Luke, come over here. Come on. Let's go. All right. We got Luke. Luke.
All right.
Luke Jacoby.
I'm asking Luke the big
Vice
question.
President of Benzinga.
I'm setting up. Getting
coming
ready
up
for the
live
big question.
On pre-market prep. I don't think he's slept in like 3 days. So he's running on pure adrenaline. And it's only 9 a.m. But he's excited. We've all been here for 3 hours. We're excited. Oh, there he is. His name says Jason Razick, but who cares? Let's bring him on. Luke, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Spencer. What is going on, guys? What's up, Zinger Nation?
Luke, I have an important question for you. It's all very important. And I need to know, am I going to have to buy a suit?
You are not going to have to buy a suit, Dennis.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I've been worried about this for the last 2 hours. I'm like, I'm going to have to invest in a suit. and not do the whole, like, all I own is t-shirts, basically.
The only thing that will change with your apparel is that we're going to get you some more Benzinga clothes, okay? but generally speaking, global comment, nothing is changing right away other than we're going to be producing more for our users, right? We did this because there are so many emerging markets. There are so many new trends. We want to make sure that we're in the position to stay on top of them, keep delivering content in the Benzinga style, the Benzinga tone for our users. So, Dennis, no suit.
Thank
but
you.
Yes, more will be coming.
Okay, I had excellent. One on earlier. I had to change it, but no, I'm going to hop over to Pre-Market Prep Plus because we didn't cover any tickers today in ticker time. What a mistake. But Luke, man, congratulations.
Great. Joe, give us a symbol we're going to cover. What's one that
we're gonna cover them all, man. Wait, we're gonna. All right. Okay. All right, man. All right. Congratulations, thanks. Luke. We'll talk to you soon.
All right,
Luke. Thank you for coming on. I know you're a busy day. You've been busy these past few months, getting this through the finish line. You did great. Congratulations. You earned it. And
hell yeah, man. I mean, I'm ready to go. We're all ready to go, right? We like to build quickly here. We want to get more tools out for our users. We want to get more data out for our users. We want to keep pushing those connections. We've worked on this project for the past few months. Now that it's done, now that we have the expertise and the backing from Behringer, I mean, we are going to be rocking and rolling in a serious way.
Yeah, the big thing is this is not the end. This is the beginning.
As long as I don't have to wear a suit, I'm cool with it. That's all.
No suit for
all right,
you.
Good.
No suit for all. You, Dennis. All right. See you later.
Luke, congratulations, buddy. We want to say congratulations, obviously. Congratulations to the Benzinga team. Jason Raznick always doing a fantastic job behind the scenes. So congratulations. I'm going to go trade my open. Keep us in the loop. Keep us on. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. Awesome. Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks a lot, Luke.
Yep.
All right. Guys, that's a wrap for the show. Live trading with myself, Zunaid, Ryan will start in like 4 or 5 minutes. So stay tuned for that. This video will end and redirect to that stream. Please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Thanks to Tim Quast from Market Structure Edge. As always, thanks to you in the chat. Give us a like. Let's go. Not every day we Benzinga is the news. We are this big. We're going to get to be this big. Everyone, good luck out there.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.